This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That Texans defense is no joke.
Ball is out. Rankins picks it up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hot seat. Mike T has had more success than anybody in the league.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Alex Smith, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, comedian Kevin Nealon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles, California. We got a lot of fun guests, and we've got time for you. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday because this just in, it is Tuesday. And we're thrilled to have you here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. However you're taking this show in, we thank you. Same thing with our podcast listeners. All 3 hours available through the podcast network thrown out there by ESPN for you to take in this program. We love it. Again, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
DJ Mikey D.
Good morning, Rich.
He's nuts in his position. The candle appears to be lit over there. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson.
Truly is. Hello, world.
And we now have the field of eight set, the final eight, the elite eight of the National Football League. The final four in each conference is set after the Monday night football game went down in Pittsburgh, PA, and it just was a total and complete beatdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fourth quarter. The dam broke, the levee broke, however you want to put it, on however the Steelers were holding off the marauding Texans defense for three quarters. Couldn't put a touchdown on the board whatsoever. And at the end of the day, it was a 30-6 final score washout in a game that the Steelers had for the taking if they could only put enough together on offense to somehow, some way, pop one in the end zone. And sure enough, the final touchdown of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers was the one that helped them beat the Baltimore Ravens on the final night. And all that it served to do was, yes, give them a division title, which is obviously something you want to have. And yes, a home playoff game, which is obviously something that you want to have. But all it did at the end of the day was just delay what everybody thought would have happened in Pittsburgh, PA, had Tyler Loop of the Baltimore Ravens split the uprights rather than miss one to the right. And that is what is happening in Pittsburgh now that Mike Tomlin has lost a seventh consecutive playoff game, now that Aaron Rodgers completed the first season in Pittsburgh for him, age 42. Now what happens to them? And I understand, again, that the Houston Texans won this game, and I'm going to give them their flowers moment, terribly. But at this point in time, we were wondering how this Pittsburgh season would play out from the way that it ended last year to the fact that Aaron Rodgers was targeted by Pittsburgh the minute He flew across the country just to be told by another Aaron, your services are no longer required. He took his time. There was a lot of conversation about whether that time would be up in time for the draft. It wasn't. Everyone was wondering when Rodgers would make a decision. He finally did. He goes to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the question is, would he be able to somehow, some way, under the circumstances in Pittsburgh, get the Steelers to the playoffs? Check that box. Would he be able to get them into the playoffs in advance for the first time in forever? And that box was unable to be checked. And now comes the questions about what should be done in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I already know what's going to happen. I know. But in this day and age, one never knows. did not think John Harbaugh would be made available, didn't know that then Mike McDaniel would be made available after being told essentially, you know, go about your business and giving exit interviews to the media and your players, only to be fired 3 days later than what normally happens. But I'll hold that in abeyance for the moment when this is how it all went down after the game with Aaron Rodgers and the media about his future.
Aaron, does that game affect your decision for what to do next year in any way?
No, I mean, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions. Disappointed, you know, obviously. Such a fun year, you know, a lot of adversity, but a lot of fun. Been a great year, you know, overall in my life in the last year, and this is, you know, a really good part of that, coming here and being a part of this team. So it's disappointing to be sitting here with the season over.
Play again? Do you want it to be here?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Shutting it all down. Basically not even saying if I'm playing, I'm going to be here. Why would he cut anything off at the pass right now? Why would he say I'm only playing here when that might not be the case? Especially since I don't think he'd be playing there if Mike Tomlin's not there. I could say that with about 99.9% Michael Jordan's not walking through that door certainty.
I agree.
Unless it's somebody from his past who he absolutely loves and would love to get started on a 22nd year with him. Because he's got to sit here and say to himself, if I have the temerity to actually get inside him, his skull, and
be careful,
think about what he's going to say or what he is thinking. He's got to sit here and think, I still have it in my arm. And I still have it neck up. To the ability where I was able to avoid this rush for three quarters until the roof caved in, leading to, by the way, the first ever return for a touchdown in the history of the National Football League with a ball on the ground by a defensive tackle. Sheldon Rankins is the first defensive tackle to return a fumble for a touchdown. And then, of course, this is another reason why a lot of people think Rodgers will not be able to walk away, because his last throw, his last snap in the National Football League was a pick six. And Tom Brady's last snap as a New England Patriot was a pick six in a playoff loss orchestrated by, wait for it, Mike Vrabel. And he didn't walk away. He went somewhere else and had a final few couple of seasons till he was 45. So he walked away north of age 40. From New England and finished up his career and got another trophy. And maybe that's something when Rodgers stares out at the Malibu sunset, he'll be thinking about. So I don't blame him for saying, you know, I'm not answering it right now, because everything is highly emotional. You saw him on the sideline swearing like a sailor, upset about certain things. He has to be sitting here thinking, is this the way it's going to end? I'm sure it was not easy for Mike Tomlin and him to put their heads together and make a decision about him not coming out for that last mop-up duty that was Mason Rudolph's gig. Because somebody who's a first ballot Hall of Famer doesn't hold a mop in his hand. The whole thing kind of sucks for it to end that way. And we'll see what happens. I have no idea about a sense of timing or anything like that. I'm sure everyone's going to want to know. And the first step is what's going to happen with Mike Tomlin. And this is what he had to say about his future afterwards.
I'm not even in that mindset as I sit here tonight. I'm more in the mindset of what transpired in this stadium and, you know, certainly what we did and didn't do. Not a big picture mentality as I sit here tonight.
So here's the way I think that one's going to go. It's going to go in a way that I don't think some Steelers fans who have had enough of Mike Tomlin, for whatever their reasons, is going to go. It's going to go with the Rooney saying, what do you want to do, Mike?
More than likely.
I think so. That's what everybody says. That's the way it normally goes in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There's a reason why, again, I'm age 56 and they've had only three head coaches. And it's going to go, what do you want to do? Does he want to do it anymore? I don't know. He might look around and go, Cam Hayward's got gray in his beard. So do I. TJ Watt still has the 100% motor giddy up of anybody who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer like that. I do like some of the other young players around here, but offensively, what are we going to do here? Because I just saw the future And the future is the Houston Texans defense that's not going anywhere and the Denver Broncos defense. And this is the sort of issue we've got on the offensive side of the ball. How are we going to score points? Again, last night, the Steelers defense was de-cleating people. And they were all over C.J. Stroud. But offensively, this was the question we were going to have, even with DK Metcalf coming back, is where are the chunk plays going to come from? Where are the points going to come from? Would they be able to affect things on the ground? I mean, the first run by Jaylen Warren last night, 10 yards, that augured well, that bode well, until it didn't. What's he want to do? There's rumors that he has a TV gig in his back pocket. We had him on this show 1 week ago tomorrow. And he was as honest as they come, which is I don't have an outside noise guy. I don't pay attention to that sort of stuff. But he must have somebody that does receive offers for him. Does he want to go to TV? This guy strikes me as he's as ball coach as they come. He wants to be in a building. He wants that challenge. I don't think he wants to sit on a television set, to be honest with you. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's just like, you know what, I'm going to win every week just sitting on a TV set. I don't need to be in a stadium. I'm happy to tell you what I think about somebody else's job. I'll be part of the outside noise. That doesn't strike me as him. Again, I only know him for covering him for 19 seasons. I only know him from the times when I've chit-chatted with him. I have a massive soft spot for Mike Tomlin, as Pittsburgh Steeler fans and media in the western part of the state love to point out. You know, but even he will say, essentially, you know, the results are not there. He's no rube off the turnip truck here, to use the phrase. He gets it. He understands it. And so do the Rooneys. And they're going to sit down and talk. And it's going to take at least the rest of this week. We all want answers now. As Aaron Rodgers pointed out, when this was all brought up to him in his post-game press conference about futures other than his involved, and of course, that's Mike Tomlin's.
I mean, this league has changed a lot in my 21 years. You know, when you hear a conversation about the Mike Tomlins of the world, Matt LaFleur's of the world, those are just two that kind of I've played for. And when I first got in the league, there wouldn't be conversation about whether those guys were on the hot seat. You know, but the way that the league is covered now, and the way that there's snap decisions and the validity given to the, you know, the Twitter experts and all the, you know, experts on TV now who make it seem like they know what the hell they're talking about. To me, that's an absolute joke. And for either of those two guys to be on the hot seat is really apropos of where we're at as a society and a league, because obviously Matt's done a lot of great things in Green Bay and we had a lot of success. Mike T has had more success than damn near anybody in the league, you know, for the last 19, 20 years. And more than that, though, when you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time, but it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
What have you learned from being with Mike for a season about him?
I mean, I've answered that a number of times. I've talked extensively about how I feel about Mike. And I just did in that answer. So, thanks.
All right.
And that's the way Rodgers' final press conference as a professional quarterback, if he retires, ends with an F-bomb. Although, you know, again, I hear that answer and I think to myself, you know, do we in the media really influence owners' decision-making based on the outside noise? And is it fair to say it's the media that is turning owners against certain coaches who have won a lot? And then I hear the last question is like, what have you learned from Mike Tomlin? And he gives the kind of look, basically, did you not just hear what I said about my answer about Mike Tomlin? And I've also said that over the final few weeks, which kind of lends credence to him having an issue with the outside noise. It's all just one big, you know, microcosm of the way Rodgers talks with the media and also gives them a very thoughtful answer. I don't know if you saw Mike Silver of The Athletic, our longtime friend, was there, and he wrote about Rodgers' last night. Because, you know, he goes back with Rodgers. They're two Cal Bear guys. Remember after the Fail Mary that Silver was right next to Rodgers doing a WTF? Remember that viral moment?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's only fitting that he's there for Rodgers' last night. He got a text. He reached out to Matt LaFleur saying, "Did you hear what Rodgers said about you?" And LaFleur texted him back saying he was totally blown away by it. It's one of the greatest compliments he's ever gotten. So, and everybody's like wondering, did Rodgers and LaFleur get along and all that sort of business? And there's your answer. I totally understand why the outside noise in Pittsburgh is the way it is. Tom is now 1-11 trailing at halftime in his postseason career. And he's now gone 9 straight seasons without winning a playoff game. And I can't believe this is on his resume. The Steelers are the first team in NFL history to lose 5 straight playoff games by double digits. So these are the ways in Pittsburgh, PA, where they're used to hanging banners. They want banners. But Rodgers' point is this as well. And the same thing with LaFleur. If you have the culture right in the building, let's get the players right. It's not like the players are 100% right and Tomlin is just incompetent and fumbling the bag. At the end of the day, it is just a team effort. And there are times when I'm sure Tomlin's decision-making and Steeler fans could call me up right now and give me 5 different instances of where he blew it, he blew it, he blew it, he blew it, he blew it. But you get the culture right and you get the players right, you wind up with the 26 New England Patriots playoff team. You know, you wind up with the 2025 New England Patriots. You wind up with the 2025 Denver Broncos. You wind up with the 2025 Seattle Seahawks. You get the culture right. You get the players right. You get the quarterback right. My God, you get the quarterback right. And off you go. And
the problem is he's really whiffed on picking that quarterback since Ben left.
Well, it's not just his choices either. I mean, you know, I think they need to draft one and get that one right. Duh. I mean, you say that about every team that's now out of the playoffs or is in it. Look at the top 6 teams in the draft. You know, you're wondering who's got the quarterback right or not, who's going to have to draft somebody. And 5 of the 6 teams have fired their coaches and started from scratch. So the way it's going to go is this, Steelers fans. They're going to take their time. They're going to ask Mike Tomlin what he wants to do, and we have no idea what he wants to do. And in terms of Rodgers, Tomlin comes back. Is the door open? Again, there were some throws. There was one that DK Metcalf.
Right.
Well, not just the one that looked like the A.J. Brown one, not to go all Ole Miss teammates on you here, but there was one that Rodgers moved to his left and threw a dart through about 3 sea of Texans' hands. It hit DK Metcalf right in his hands, and it was a bullet. I mean, it's not like he's lollipopping this stuff in, and it's not like he can't take care of himself back there. He just survived all of this stuff for the season. But, you know, or do you say to Tomlin, we're done, we're getting a new coach in here, and it would be the envy of anybody in the coaching community to take a job with somebody that holds on to their coaches for 2 decades. And you know, I don't know, you draft somebody, you go tell Malik Willis, come here. Remember, that was what I said after the week 16 Packers loss to Chicago, that he almost pulled out of his hat, or that week 17 loss that they had against the Ravens. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think they're going to keep Tomlin, and I don't know about Rodgers. I have no idea. I just don't know if he wants to end on a pick 6. Well, that doesn't even matter to him. I have no earthly idea. I've already opined enough on what I think he's thinking. Now let's talk about the Texans. Then Alex Smith is going to join us. Headline for the Houston Texans: they can win it all. This defense, I've been fortunate enough to be around the NFL since 2003. This is my 23rd postseason with NFL Network. The first Super Bowl I ever attended was the one that the Ravens won with their defense and Trent Dilfer and Brian Billick and beating up the Giants. And this defense of the Houston Texans is up there with that one. I know I'm talking about one of the all-time greats. But again, I saw what they did last night. I saw it with my own 2 eyes calling the game between the Texans and the Chargers on NFL Network on that week 17 Saturday after Christmas. This is no joke, folks. They just come at you, and they keep coming at you, and they keep coming at you. Young and veteran, all of them, all three levels. My God, all three levels. They've got guys on the back end that's baiting you to pick you off, or somebody like Jalen Petrie up there with his guardian cap just throwing his body around like he doesn't have one on his head. And then Aziz Alshire right there in the middle, the Pro Bowler. He's one of the fastest sideline-to-sideline backers I've ever seen. Toe-to-toe. Obviously, you got the two guys on the ends as well. The guys in the middle. Sheldon Rankins, again, first defensive tackle in the history of the NFL to return a fumble for a touchdown in the playoffs. They were all over the place, man. All over the place. And when their quarterback couldn't hang on to snaps, everyone's wondering what was going on with C.J. Stroud last night. Now, the Steelers' defense is no joke as well. Okay, like that'll make you look at the rush instead of down the field, make you think about, do I have the snap or not? I don't know what was going on with C.J. Stroud. And that'll be the conversation between now and kickoff, Chris, of that game in Foxborough on Sunday. Is Stroud going to be good enough to overcome what inevitably will be some sort of remarkable athletic achievement, scoring play by Drake May, Trevion Henderson, name the playmakers there. I think the wideouts are going to have a tough time getting open on this defense. Just my first blush reaction of how that first game of Divisional Sunday is going to go.
Agree.
But is Stroud going to be in putting up enough points on the board? Nico Collins got carted off.
Yep.
Again, not to go too deep on a preview here the day after the wild card Monday ended. But defensively, holy crap. I mean, that's the headline. They were good all season long, and they were exactly what the doctor ordered last night when Stroud came up with, by the way, a fumbleitis that he had all last night is exactly what they needed. And after the game, D'Amico Ryans, I think we have him talking about his defense. This is what he had to say about that side of the ball.
It was an outstanding defensive performance, one of the best that I've seen, especially versus a really talented offense, a talented quarterback who's, you know, played at a high level for a long time. So I'm proud of our defensive performance. I think this is the best performance we've had in our team history. So I'm proud of our guys for that, to limit the points, to take the football away, not only just take it away, but to go score. You get two defensive touchdowns, that's a big deal. It doesn't happen much, and those guys did what they have been doing all year, playing disruptive, playing violent up front, and it helped us to win the game today.
And again, C.J. Stroud last night found enough offense, just enough offense. And Christian Kirk, what an addition, the former Jaguar and Arizona Cardinal, exactly what they needed, certainly with Nico Collins knocked out with a concussion. 8 catches, 144 receiving yards, and that receiving touchdown that put them up. And that one-point lead that they had on Pittsburgh felt like a 10-point lead because of this defense. And Stroud had this to say afterwards.
You know, we had some problems with the snaps. Me catching them, you know, got to find a way just to catch them and then take care of the ball. I think these games, the playoffs games, from my experience, like, they're going to make plays, we're going to make plays. It's all about, you know, moving forward and, you know, trying your best to, you know, flush it and keep going. So, you know, I thought, you know, when every time we had to bounce back, you know, we made more plays. So, I mean, I'm proud of our guys for having a little bit of resilience in those moments. And, you know, to finish a game like that was really dope.
Well, you know how you learn resilience. You start 0-3, you make the playoffs anyway, and you win a playoff game. The only other team to do that was the 1992 Los Angeles, or at the time, San Diego Chargers. That's resilience. You go 0-3, you make the playoffs. You win a playoff game, you go to the divisional round anyway, for the third straight year, I might add. And interestingly enough, C.J. Stroud, if you remember last year in the game against the Chargers, they were losing that game, and the momentum was all about the lightning bolts until he fumbled a snap, picked it up, made a remarkable offensive play. The whole momentum changed. I was waiting to see if any of those fumbles would lead to that. It didn't, because the defense needed to come up big. And it did. It's a championship defense that can take the Texans the whole freaking way, 100%. I don't think I'm stuttering when I say that.
Those cats were nasty last night. Like they're out there playing with bad intentions. They're,
were they ever?
Are out there blowing you up. Like,
were they ever?
You look at Danielle Hunter and you look at Wilkerson. They look like they should be, Chris, they look like they should be the WWE tag team champion.
Right?
Like, they're literally built like someone you just draw. Like, it doesn't, they don't seem real. Like, this team's a problem, man.
100%.
Yeah, and they never played Drake May.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. And Drake Bay's never played them. That's for damn sure. And but the defense that showed up and was all over Herbert needs to show up. And because if they're all over Stroud like that, May's going to make more plays than Rodgers, because he's got more weapons and he's got the ability to use his legs in a way that Rodgers used to.
Yeah.
Don't forget, as we all wonder about Rodgers not coming back for season 22, what he was like in seasons 1 through about 18 or 20 of his career.
Sensational.
Oh, my God. First ballot stuff. Let's take a break. Alex Smith is going to join us next. What does he think about Rodgers maybe retiring? He was first overall in that draft, by the way.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different, because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone, so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio, along with our television audience, Alex Smith is here, 14 seasons in the National Football League, also part of the Disney World of which this show is part, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. It is great to see you, Alex. And, you know, it's kind of fitting in a way, you know, your name attached to Aaron Rodgers through the draft that you're joining here on a day where it appears that Aaron Rodgers could have thrown his last pass on Monday Night Football. What's going through your mind when I bring up his name in last night's game in tandem, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first off, insanely cool. He's still playing, right? Especially everything he's been through the last couple of years, where he had a pretty significant lower leg injury himself that he was able to come back from. And I know last night's game obviously ended, pretty lopsided, but I mean, there was a point there into the fourth quarter. It was still 10-6. You're still wondering if the, you know, Steelers can make a play here or there, that all of a sudden it's a football game, and they got a chance. And so, but I think again, the season, you know, when he signed with the Steelers at the beginning of the year, and you think about the expectations and what was the season going to be like for them to win that division, to host a home playoff game, again, I just thought was a pretty cool run, especially here these last few weeks, as, you know, they beat the Ravens to get in. Who knows what the future holds? Obviously, at this point, he's been playing freaking forever. So But obviously, it was a treat. I mean, it's one of the greatest careers of all time. You know, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game. Obviously, and again, how much I think we all appreciate his, you know, even watching him play, right? The body language, him cussing himself or his teammates. You know, again, he's so unique in everything that he does. And so it's obviously, you know, I think just to take note, to be grateful for it as a fan, right? You know, certainly a guy that I'll be forever tied to. I enjoy watching him play. He's just, again, he's one of a kind.
Yeah, and, you know, the question is how far, I guess, can the Texans go? What's your assessment of one of the most wide-open playoff fields that we've seen in recent memory, Alex?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more how wide-open it is, and the Texans absolutely could win the whole thing. The Texans could be hoisting the real Lombardi.
That's right.
Their defense is that good. Their defense is that historic. It's not, you know, again, I think it's important sometimes to think about these things in context. Is it the best defense in football? Yes. This defense, when you start comparing it to other defenses in the last 25 years, it's up there. They're that good. And it's good enough. You saw it, two defensive scores last night. I don't think it's, you know, crazy to say that they will be in every game, that they have a chance to do that in a lot of games. Their offense, again, even CJ, I know there's a bunch of plays he wants to have back with the turnovers. If they don't do that, the game's probably not very close at all. And there's no reason to say that couldn't happen every week. That recipe, it will travel. It'll go on the road. They look incredibly well coached and motivated right now. I mean, it's also scary. I know this defense almost is aware of how good they are. And I think that makes matters worse, right? That they could just take over a football game.
Why is that? What do you mean by that? I find that's an interesting
comment.
Almost
like Rich, they know their power, right? Like they know how, like, again, it's almost like suffocating as a quarterback to play this kind of defense, right? Like every level, they're extremely talented, but it starts up front. Right? I mean, the defensive line is just so dominant, right? And the secondary knows it, right? Like they know the ball has to come out quick. And so all of a sudden they start, you know, they get more confident, right? They get jumpy. They take risks. And it just compounds over four quarters, right? Like, especially once they start making a play, it's like gas on a fire. And it's kind of what you saw last night, right? Like, into the fourth quarter, they obviously just took over that football game. And so that momentum, they're just going to take that right into next week.
Yeah, against New England. And I'm thinking maybe Alex Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show, we should soak in divisional playoff round for whoever scores.
Best weekend in football.
Well, it's not just that, because it's also whoever scores the last touchdown of divisional playoff weekend. If Houston plays Denver in the AFC Championship game and then that winner plays Seattle, we might see the last touchdown in the NFL scored on divisional playoff weekend. You know what I mean? It might come down down to field goals in the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, because what you just said about the Houston defense can be said about others. And then obviously the Rams offense is potent. You take a look at what the Niners have done as the collective, the Bills with Josh Allen. Truly, you could make a statement, this team can win it all, as I mentioned before, you know?
Oh, agreed. Totally agree. And you're exactly right. Like, I mean, we talked about the Texans defense, but Seattle with home field. I mean, again, I was lucky enough to play in that division for a lot of years. And I'm real, real thankful I don't ever have to go to Seattle and play quarterback again. It's a miserable experience. The 12th man thing is for real. And then you combine it with the way that defense is playing and that defensive front and how violent they are for anybody to go up there and get a win. I mean, you're just going to have to be, it's going to take some magic, Rich. Right? You're just going to have to be perfect. You're going to have to get some things go your way, make a play here or there, whether it be kicking game or, you know, kind of a gadget play, I think, to go in there and get the win. And Broncos is kind of the same boat, right? They got a huge home field advantage, that defense. These are going to be huge feats to kind of go in there and knock off a one seed with a defense that's playing at that high level.
Brother, I've been around you so long, Alex Smith, that I remember a Thursday night football game on NFL Network, San Francisco at Seattle. Oh, I do. It poured so badly that we had to evacuate our television studio position on the field because water was cascading, and then the game got delayed. You just made this move because the field bubbled up.
Yeah, bubble started bubbling.
You played that game for the San Francisco 49ers. I was there. I remember, man. That was nuts.
Those are miserable football games as a quarterback, Rich. Those
and a host.
Miserable
and a TV
games.
Host, too, I Alex.
Mean, miserable. Like, every, you know, it's funny, like when that happens, again, it's just like down, it's like a monsoon. Yeah. Like, well, there's nothing to, you can't prepare for that as a quarterback, right? And like every other player is reduced to like a 7-year-old, right? It's just kind of this fun, you know, magical moment. And as a quarterback who has to ball handle every single play, like taking the snap is just like the most anxiety, handing the ball off. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
See, I remember that. You said,
Somehow we won. I do remember that.
You do. I know. And I'll never forget because the storm came back and we were taking off for our Saturday game. I don't know where the hell it was. It's somewhere on the East Coast. And we were getting out just before the whole airport shut down. Yeah.
Yep.
You remember?
I remember that.
See?
Yeah. And I think they were like out of power for a few days. You'd have been stuck there.
Man, it was insane. Tell me about the pain game plan campaign, Alex. I know this is near and dear to you. Go for it.
Yeah, this is like, it is something that's very close to home. You know, like I think my orthopedic journey back from my leg injury is obviously well documented. But there's a side of it that, yeah, I think is really forgotten about. And even when I was going through it, right, like this idea of pain management, right? Like I lived with this thing bolted into my leg for a year. And when I left the hospital, I mean, grocery bags full of, you know, prescription drugs. And I go home with a rescue med, Rich, because there's a chance I can OD from some of these drugs that they prescribed me, right? And it, like, these are conversations you have with your doctor that they just don't happen, right? There's a stigma around pain management in this country, and for good reason. And so excited to partner with Vertex, really, about anybody. I mean, listen, pain is universal. Injuries are universal. They are a part of life, whether they be surgeries or what have you. And really trying to empower people to have these conversations, right? Get with your doctor. There are more options out there than you think, especially non-opiate options. And really just trying to advocate for, again, for this idea of pain management. Again, so many times it's an afterthought. You're scared to ask questions as a patient, right? Mm-hmm. Like what's appropriate, what's not. For anybody out there that's going through it, they want some information, go to paingameplan.com. There's a ton of information on there for anybody, whether it be you or a loved one. Again, just trying to advocate for people to have these conversations, see what the options are that are out there.
Paingameplan.com. All right, so take your shot. You know the Final Four in both conferences. Who makes the Super Bowl and wins it? And a former place of business for you, Alex.
You know, we have to do this. You know this. I'm sure you did it at the beginning of the year. You got to pick.
Oh, I've whiffed every time.
Right? Don't worry about it. Same with me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did pick. You know, you end up like falling into these like mainstream picks, right? Like, oh, it's Ravens, Eagles, yeah, right? Like based off last year.
I did
year,
Chiefs, but, Lions. How'd that work out for me? Alex?
Exactly. That's same as mine. Mm-hmm. But I did pick a dark horse pick.
Okay.
Because it was like one that I'm like was too scared to actually like toe the line on. Yes. And my dark horse pick, Rich,
yes,
was Rams Texans.
Okay. So, let's stick with it.
I don't know if that is still going to come, but I'm part of me is like, it's got a chance.
Okay. You're saying it's got a chance. So it sounds like you need a pain game plan to make your picks too. You need a pick game plan.
But obviously having been a homer, I live here in the Bay Area. I played for the Niners for nearly a decade. What a run. If they could do this, I mean, I would be, it would be amazing. Magical.
For sure. That would be for them to play. I mean, that's how the Rams won it all too, is to win it in their own stadium. The Bucks did it. So that would be remarkably the third time this decade that it would happen after it hardly ever happening. Alex, I appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Paingameplan.com for more. And this is only mimicking what's happening in the college football world. As a Michigan man in need reaches out to Utah for help.
I was just going to say, I was going to leave you with, next time we'll have to talk about Witt.
Not next time. I need it now. Next he time. Looks to me like this appears to be a godsend for me, Alex, to be honest with you.
I love him. I've known Kyle since I was 18 years old, Rich. He is a stud of studs. You guys got a real one. You know, listen, I love him. I think he's one of the best coaches in college football. And then I know a bunch of the staff, they're going to Michigan, obviously Jay Hill, I've known forever as well. And so, excited for him. What is the maize and the blue?
Maize and blue. The maize and blue. It's okay.
I got to learn these things.
I had him on the show last week. I walked him through the victors. I told him how he cannot be friends with Urban anymore. It's too bad that relationship's got to end. You know, but then he went on his podcast. But it's all good. Listen, but in all seriousness, how do you think he's going to help Bryce Underwood? Like you would know how he would coach up a young quarterback. What do you think on that front, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the great thing, I mean, Kyle is a defensive guy, right? Like that defense is going to be so stout and tough and to play a brand of football. I love the offensive coordinator that he brought with him, Beck from Utah. That offense, I think, pairs perfectly with it. But listen, again, like Kyle's been coaching, I mean, 20 years, right? He's had a lot of quarterbacks. He's been around a bunch of guys. And so I think that to just kind of have that foundation there. And then I think they have the stability, to be honest, Rich. Like, Kyle's just so stable week in and week out, not having the highs and lows. You're not riding the roller coaster, right? Like being a guy that's able to see the big picture. I think that we'll be able to get, whether it comes from him or not, we'll be able to get, Bryce any and all information, things that he needs to reach his potential.
Alex, appreciate the time, man. It's so great to see you. I hope to see you at the Super Bowl. I imagine you'll be up there.
Yeah, same. Right? Yeah, I will be here.
I'll look for you because, again, we go way back. I interviewed you when you were a prospect on the NFL Total Access set that no longer exists. That's how long we go back. So anytime that you want to go on a tour or appear on this show, you've got a spot with me, as you know.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so
much. Best to your wife and family. That's Alex Smith, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, PainGamePlan.com. Yeah, the show doesn't exist anymore and the studio doesn't exist anymore, but the network still does.
Hey.
And speaking of, we're back on ESPN in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on radio, as well as Disney Plus and ESPN, the app, and ESPN Radio. LinkedIn Jobs is stepping things up with their new AI assistant, people, so you can feel confident you're finding the top talent and hiring right the first time. Get this, employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. That's linkedin.com/EISEN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Glenn in Atlantic City, New Jersey, ACNJ. What's up, Glenn? How are you, sir?
He's up.
Oh, that was a big intro. I loved it. Atlantic City. My dad once took me on a bus once with my fake ID to go down there and gamble with him.
Marvin Gardner.
I figured the statute of limitations is done with that one.
He's on hold again, Rich.
All right.
Loved AC.
Too bad. Let's go to Gabriel in Washington. What's up, Gabriel?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
What's going on, sir?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on what Ben Johnson had to say about the Packers and his comments towards them.
Uh-huh.
I think that's absolutely great for the NFL and football across the board. You got to have rivalries. Rivalries make games so much better, so much more anxious and intense.
Uh-huh.
Having a true rival, I think that's something that college football has lacked the last couple of years, especially with Ryan Day finally getting the Michigan monkey off his back.
Yeah, that rivalry was beginning to wane because it was so lopsided, Gabriel. You know, it was so lopsided. So, yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah,
it was.
I know. It's good for them.
He tried to act like it wasn't a big deal. But so back to, and, you know, I'm a Washington Huskies fan, and with the Pac-12 falling apart, the Huskies and Cougars, they play in the middle of the season now, and the Apple Cup doesn't have any weight to it no more. It just kind of sucks. But so in the NFL, you guys have been hearing me call the last few weeks. Figured if I keep calling, you know, kind of like the annoying commercial, a little jingle in your hail, a jingle in your ear, like, Seattle, you guys might talk about us a little bit more.
Oh, sure. But, Gabriel in Washington wanted us to take the Costanza by Menon approach.
The egg that the Sea Chickens are going to lay Saturday night and for the rest of the season is Tiffany blue, full of sterling silver in the shape of Lombardi.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gabriel in Washington had that one in his back pocket. Put that one on the table. Listen, the whole Ben Johnson thing, you know, we're on, obviously, ESPN Radio in Chicago. Love being on in that awesome city. and love the passion of the Bears fans. And, you know, if you call in here, 844-2046, you'll speak to Adam Chudwin, our call screener. He is as diehard a Bears fan as we know. Did you see Ashton went on The Tonight Show wearing the same hat that he wore here?
No, I didn't.
He went on Fallon. And I'm glad he didn't do here what he did to Fallon, which is showing off his Tai Chi moves or something like that. He got down on the ground and he actually flipped Jimmy Fallon over.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Pardon me. Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't pull that stuff on me. Listen, it sounds weird for one guy who's fresh to something to suddenly call out another man who's in the same profession as him. You know, by name, like Matt LaFleur prior, and then the F this, F that. But he's just giving voice to what the fans have been dying for such a long time. And clearly, he's just plugging right into what the fans want to hear somebody on their behalf say about the Packers and then actually do it to them. So, you know, that's what that rivalry clearly is all about. Yeah. Mark Schlereth coming up in hour two.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.